Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our program, our third hour this morning. We are thrilled to welcome artist and illustrator Grace Lynn to the program. Grace's first picture book, The Ugly Vegetables, was published in 1999 to glowing praise. 25 years later, she has created more than 30 titles, including board books, early readers, middle grade novels, garnering Caldecott, Newbery, and Geisel honors along the way. She has a new exhibition, The Art of Grace Lynn, Meeting a Friend in an Unexpected Place, which is on view at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts through the end of this year. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Grace Lynn to the Roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
This must be a thrill to have your work go into the Eric Carle. And I'm interested in how it ultimately came about.
Yes, it's really, really a great honor to have my art in the Eric Carle. It's like a retrospective of 25 years. So when I first went into it, I kind of said to my friends, it was kind of a joke, but not really a joke. I'm like, oh, this is what it must feel like to kind of go to your own funeral, because you can see like your whole life spread all around you, like on all the walls. So it's a pretty incredible thing. I'm really honored that the curator, the first curator, Ellen, invited me to have a show there.
Well, you know, it's even more like a funeral when they don't know you're there and you go around and listen to people talk about your work.
Yeah. It is funnier when I go kind of incognito, like on a day where they don't know it's me, and I kind of hear people talk about my work. It's a very surreal experience.
I bet it is. Give me a sense of what brought you into this field initially, of what it was that struck you of wanting to do this type of work.
Oh, well, there's many different things. One was just, I always loved books when I was a child. I grew up in upstate New York, where we were one of the only Asian families in the area. So I had a really strange sense of identity, and I felt very lonely. And I turned to books, and I really felt like books were my friends. And so when I grew older and I wanted to make books, I remembered those books that meant so much to me, those books when I was a child, and I realized those were the kind of books that I wanted to make as well.
What, as you were doing that, did you find yourself in a place of what you enjoyed writing about, what you enjoyed illustrating, what you enjoyed making for younger readers?
It was a really interesting journey for me. When I first decided I wanted to be a children's book illustrator, I thought I was going to make kind of like fairy tale books, because those were the books that I loved when I was a child. I liked Cinderella. I loved Sleeping Beauty. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make books just like that when I'm older. But, you know, I went through a lot of growing and becoming a real person through my adulthood.
And
I slowly realized, oh, yes, becoming a more full person, maybe that's a better way of putting it. And I realized that while I still loved books and I wanted to make books that meant as much to children as the books did to myself, I realized maybe another Sleeping Beauty book was not really what was needed in the world. And I started thinking about the books that were kind of needed, and the books that maybe I would have liked to seen when I was a child and I hadn't. And those were books that really had people that looked like me in them. And that's where I started to create books that I realized were of value and of like deep personal meaning to me. And that's really where I've started, and why I think I've been able to continue for so many years.
When it comes to the actual creation of the exhibit, what was it like, and how involved were you in picking the actual pieces that would represent you and your work on the walls of the Eric Carle Museum?
It was really fun. fun. What happened was the Carlton team actually got a guest curator, Melissa Hung, to come and be the curator for the show. And so basically she came to my studio one weekend and just pretty much photographed everything from everything like in my studio, like the bookshelves, the things I have on my bookshelves, like all my little trinkets and things like that, as well as the art. And she kind of put it all together in the show. So there's actually a section that's kind of a replica of my studio, which is really neat to see. And you can see all the things that I have in my studio, like my special like Daruma dolls and things like that. She put in my name chops. And then what was also really nice is that she put the art up in kind of themes, which I really personally enjoyed. Because I wasn't really excited to have a show that was kind of like 2002, because I feel like my work didn't grow that way. It kind of grew like up and down. It wasn't a straightforward progression. So she did it in themes where it's kind of like this is kind of where the myths and folklore is over here, and this is kind of the Chinese traditions over here. So this is the food area. So I really, really enjoyed that.
I want to ask you about the derivation of two titles, one being the name of this exhibit, which is The Art of Grace Lin, meeting a friend in an unexpected place. What is the meaning of that?
Yeah, so meeting a friend in an unexpected place comes from a Chinese aphorism. So in one of the aphorisms in Chinese culture is that there's four great joys in life. One is passing the imperial exam. Two, a happy marriage.
Right.
Three is rain after a drought. But the fourth one, which they consider one of the greatest joys of life, is meeting a friend in an unexpected place. And to me, books, like I said, have always kind of been my friends, right? Like when I was younger, that's why I love them now and love them then. And they are kind of meeting a friend. It's been one of my greatest joys is books and creating books and reading books and being a part of the book culture. And so to me, it's all about finding your friends in these unexpected places, finding your friend in these books.
The second title I want to ask you about is there's an event coming up on November 13th. They have an Educator's Night at the Carl Museum, November 13th, 3:30 to 6:30. And so not so much a night as a late afternoon. Anyway, your 2025 presentation is an updated version of your TED Talk, which is called The Windows and Mirrors of Your Child's Bookshelf. That just seems like a beautiful image to me. Tell me a little bit about where that came from.
Sure. The windows and mirrors metaphor is actually from a essay that Dr. Rudine Sims Bishop wrote many, many, many years ago. She's a very famous librarian. And it was her metaphor that she talked about how a book can be a window or a mirror. And so when you read a book, you can see yourself in it. So that's like a mirror. Or you can see it's a window into another life, into another world, and that's what a book could be as well. You could see it as a window into another life, and I just that like I said, that's a metaphor that has been in the children's book literature world for a long, long time about how books can be windows and mirrors, and so using that metaphor, I talk about how the books that I read and love and create are windows and mirrors, hopefully not only to myself, but to my readers. And I've updated it a little bit with my own metaphor of glasses, which is eyeglasses, which hopefully people will come to the event and find out more.
Again, it's November 13th, 3:30 to 6:30, and you can find out more by going to carlmuseum.org. What is it like to meet a reader, I assume in most cases a younger reader, who has had that window and or mirror experience and describes it to you?
Oh, it's really, really pretty wonderful. A while ago, actually during COVID time, when we were getting vaccines at the at a clinic, I remember I went in there one night with my daughter, and there was another Asian family also getting their vaccines. And the little girl was Asian, and the other little girl was Asian. She didn't want to get her vaccine done. And so my daughter was talking her into it. And then slowly came out that one of the books that I created was A Big Moon Cake for Little Star. And A Big Moon Cake for Little Star is actually based on my own daughter. And this other little girl said, "Oh, A Big Moon Cake for Little Star. I love that book." And I said, "Oh, well, this, my own daughter, is Little Star, but now she's Big Star." And then the girl said, no, I'm Little Star, because she had identified so much with the book that she had claimed that identity of the character in the book as well. So it was just really sweet to see how even a book that I created around my own personal family has kind of turned into other people. Like, they really see themselves in it so much. And it's just really amazing and lovely to think about that.
Is the latest book The Gate, the Girl, and the Dragon?
Yes, it is. And that's a really interesting book for me because it's a book where I integrated not only traditional folk tales, but I integrated urban legends into the whole story. So it's a mix of modern and contemporary.
A middle grade novel. And it is, it's a beautiful book. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
And so,
yes.
And then it comes out and it's number two on the New York Times bestseller list for readers of that age. I mean, that's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah, that was so nice to see. I'd like to tell people that The Gate, the Girl, and the Dragon is kind of like an Asian American Narnia book. So instead of the wardrobe, in Narnia
yep.
books, they go through the wardrobe to go to Narnia. In my book, it's the Chinatown Gate, and that is kind of a portal into another world. But unlike Narnia, where the kids go into Narnia, in my book, it's kind of like one of the creatures from the other world come into our world. So that's why it's kind of a play on that. And so I hope people enjoy it. As much as they enjoy the Narnia books, that would be an honor.
I know you hadn't, or from my understanding, you hadn't done a middle grade book for a while. So what brought you back to wanting to touch on that age bracket?
There's many, many different things. It has been 9 years since I have done an original novel. One of the things was my daughter was younger and I fell in love with the picture book again. So because she was, it was kind of like, kismet to like do it, create books that she, could kind of star in and things like that. That was one. And another was that I just felt like, the world needed to have more, contemporary Asian American, middle grade novels. And at that time, I wasn't really sure how to do that. Most of my middle grade novels tend to be based in like ancient times, with like fantasy and folk tales. And so it took me a while to figure out how to bring my sensibilities into something more contemporary. So that was another reason.
Well, the new book I mentioned, The Gate, the Girl, and the Dragon, is now out and absolutely beautiful. The exhibit is The Art of Grace Lynn, Meeting a Friend in an Unexpected Place, which is on view at the Eric Carl Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts, and that is through the end of the year. Also, we want to mention the event that is happening on the 13th of November from 3:30 to 6:30. It's Educators Night, and Grace Lynn will be featured, and Grace will give a presentation, an updated version of her TED Talk, The Windows and Mirrors of Your Child's Bookshelf. A lot going on. You can find out more by going to carlmuseum.com, carlmuseum.com. And of course, you can also find out more information by going to Grace Lynn, GRACELIN.com, about Grace's work. Grace, a delight to meet you and to talk to you, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.